Luke chapter 18, verses 9 to 14. Listen for the word of God. He also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and regarded others with contempt. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, was praying thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, thieves, rogues, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all my income. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even look up to heaven, but was beating his breast and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his home justified rather than the other. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, but all who humble themselves will be exalted. Reading from Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 4, verses 4 to 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. May God bless the reading and hearing of the scriptures. Thanks be to God. So we're starting a new sermon series today. It's a stewardship sermon series. And we're basing it on the vow that we take when we join the United Methodist Church. The last question is, as members of this congregation, will you participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? So today, we are beginning the conversation about prayers. Prayer is a conversation that you and I have with God. That's all it is. It's a conversation. Sometimes we think that only the preachers are the ones who do the prayer, or the professionals who do the prayer. And that's simply not the truth. All people pray at some point in their lives. We have conversation with God. Sometimes we do it out loud. Sometimes we do it quietly in our own minds' thoughts. But it is something that we do to keep in relationship with God. In order to keep in relationship with each other, we have to talk to each other. The same is true in our relationship with God. Prayer is an important part of who we are as Christians. So, how often do you pray? And do you pray? It's an important element of who we are. When I pray, I tend to pray in terms of the pastoral prayers particular way. And so I'm going to go through that way with you this morning and give you a way to pray so that you can think about it as you do your daily prayer. And I always start out with this thing that's called adoration. So what is adoration? This is a participatory sermon today. So what is adoration? Well, it's pray. Go ahead. Praise. Recognition, yes, praise of God. Sometimes when we start to pray, we start out with, hey God, I, me. And it's centered on what I want and what I need. But prayer is most fully about God. So we start out by saying, hey God, you're awesome. You're great, you're wonderful, you're loving, you're kind, and all of those wonderful verbs and adjectives that describe who God is. God is awesome, God is wonderful, God deserves our praise and our celebration of who God is. God is loving. God is kind. God is forgiving. God is all of those things. God is creator of everything there is. So that when we go out into the world, we look at the world that God created, and all we can do is praise God and rejoice, the scripture says, always, because there's always something for which we can rejoice. And all the praise and the honor go to God. And it's not Thanksgiving. That's a different component. It is praise for all of who God is. Praise God. Maybe that's all we do, is that we say, praise you, God, who is the creator of the world. Praise God. The second piece is this thing that we call contrition, forgiveness. Now, when I was 10, I started going to confession. Grew up in the Catholic Church. We stopped going to church for a while, and then we started going back to church. So I was around 10, started going to confession, 10, 11, 12. And I thought that, you know, I wasn't a sinful kid. I didn't need to go to confession. I didn't need to go sit in a box, talk to Father O'Donnell. So I decided, well, let's actually go do something. Then I'd have something to talk about. So I did. And most of the time it had to do with my sister or my brother. So I was the oldest, you know, I could do anything I wanted to. So I did. Got a little bit more heinous as the time went on. However, and I think that the priest was catching on to what I was doing, you know. Pastors are not stupid, by the way. So he picked up on it. And as time went on, and I got to figure out what this whole confession forgiveness thing was about, I began to catch on to why we were doing this in the first place. And I began to think, oh, maybe I don't really need to go and do something to confess. Maybe there's something else going on already anyway. And I'm already needing to confess of my sin. Forgiveness is something that you and I need to be doing every day of our lives, because we all sin and fall short of the glory of God because we're human. We open up our mouths and stuff comes out. We fail to do the things that God calls us to do. And we need to confess our sin. And God is a gracious God, and God offers that gift of forgiveness when we repent. It's a cool thing that God does for us. But if we remember what is said in the Lord's Prayer, we ask for forgiveness of our trespasses, but what's the next part of that prayer? As we forgive the trespasses of those, what? Who trespass against us. So we need to ask God to help us forgive those who sin against us. And the way that I help me to understand that is that those who have sinned against us are probably asking God to forgive them already. So the only way that we can forgive others is through prayer. It's the only way, because it's through God's love and God's grace that we gain the ability to forgive others. Contrition is a needed part of our life of prayer. And God is a huge part of that in our prayer life. Then we can move on to petition, when we seek guidance for ourselves. This is when we get to the me part. Now, in the parable that Jesus taught, he used the Pharisees as his bad example. Now, what were the Pharisees doing? They said, well, I'm glad I'm not like that person, and I'm glad I'm not like that person. You see, I do good service. I volunteer everywhere in the community. I do that. I pray every day. I'm in church every single week. I give my tithe. As a matter of fact, I don't just tithe 10%, I tithe 11%, and I even share my faith with others. And I've said it out loud. So there, I do all of that. What are you doing? Ha. Huh. There's another guy sitting over here who's beating his breast, asking God to forgive him because he's humble enough to know that he has fallen short of the glory of God. And Jesus says, that is the guy who really understands what it means to be a person in prayer, not this guy. Yeah, you've done all the stuff. You've done all of the above, but you have no clue what that means. All of that, all of the above, is grounded in the life of prayer. When we do seek guidance for ourselves, we do need to be careful about that which we are doing. Because if we're only asking for me all the time, for my needs and my wants, I want this, I want that, I want this, and I want that, well, then God only becomes what Neil calls a cosmic Santa Claus. God just gives us what we want. And we only go to God for when we want what we want. And that's it. What do we use God for any other time other than seeking what we want God for? And that God will provide what we need when we want it, on the time frame that we want it, and that everything will go right in our lives. But all of us know that that is not the truth. What I do know is that when things do go awry, that God will be with us. I do know that last night after service, someone did tell me that they were going to pray that the Nebraska team would win the game. How did that work out? No. But I bet you that someone did pray that Ohio State would win the game. Does God really care? But we pray, don't we? It's an interesting thing we do with God when we pray for what we want and what we think that we need. And we think that God's going to provide all of that stuff. We got into a conversation several years ago with someone who honestly told me that every time she went to Walmart, she would pray to God that God would provide her that perfect parking space at Walmart. And I'm like, you really use God for that? Isn't that interesting? And apparently it worked every single time. God always provided her with the perfect parking spot. Okay, cosmic Santa Claus, there it is. If that is the way that we live our lives with God, I think we need to evaluate our relationship with God. We need a much deeper understanding of who God is. What I can tell you is that when we're struggling and when things are going awry, whatever that is, God is present with us. And God will get us through whatever's going on in our life. Because just because we're a Christian and we say that we are a faithful human being, like we do say, and that's a positive and wonderful thing, does not mean that our lives are going to be perfect and wonderful all the time. when things do go awry, God is with us, and God will get us through anything in our lives, because God is good, God is gracious, and God is compassionate, and God will give us courage and strength. So we petition God to be with us, to give us courage and strength. When I'm doing a test or nervous about something, I ask God to be present with me, to clear my mind so that I might be completely present at the moment. That is how I ask God to be present at the moment. Intercession. Intercession is when we pray for others. So in your bulletin, you have this lovely piece here that we work on during the week, prayers for healing and health and healing, and joys and concerns. We want you to take this home. And during your prayer during the week, because you say, I'll support the church by my prayers, take this home and pray for these people. Because prayer works. However it works, however God uses this, it works. Because these people do feel that you are praying for them and with them. Pray for them. And pray for the ministries that are happening in this church. Because we got a lot going on. We need the prayer. Take this home and pray for what's happening in the life of our church. And pray for the staff, that we can do and accomplish the tasks that God has called us to do and be. Believe me, the staff who lead the children in this church, right, Linda, need all the prayer that we can have. Did you hear me, Linda? Yeah. We need the help. Huh? Add Linda to that list. Yes. We need it. We need it. So take it home and use it. We need that help as we do our work in the life of the church. When we pray for others, our world leaders need prayer. The world needs our prayer. When our friends and family are going through times of struggle, they need our prayer. It's not all about us. It's also about the people who are around us. Pray for others when they are going through struggle, and be with them when life goes awry. And pray with them when life is wonderful, and give thanks with them when things are going great. The last piece is thanksgiving. You know, we are a blessed people, and even when things go awry, there is always something for which we are thankful. So, I have a job for you, not only to take this home, but get a very large piece of paper, maybe 11 by 17 piece of paper, if you can get your hands on it, and every day write down two things that you are thankful for. Just two, but do it every day. And they have to be two different things. They can't be the same thing. See, sometimes people want to cheat. No cheating. Two things. So at the end of 7 days, how many things will you have on your list? 14. Okay? And at the end of those 14 days, you'll have those, at the end of that 7 days, you'll have 14 things for which you are thankful. So when a day comes, when you come home, and the day that you have was awful, which happens to all of us, you can look on that list and you can go, oh, yeah, that makes my life better. And you can give thanks. Keep doing that list. Two things every single day. And at the end of the year, if you do two things every day, how many will be on your list? Anybody do that math? Aha! Do it and see how many things that you can be thankful for, and then give thanks to God. Thank you, God, for this church. Thank you, God, for all the people in this church who make life happen. Thank you for our children. Thank you for the world that you have created. Thank you for the gifts that you have given us so that we can go out into the world and spread the gospel message. Thank you for butterflies. Thank you for flowers. Thank you for the Kansas City Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes. That's my thankfulness. Thank you for my children who are coming in a couple of weeks to see a maniacal Venus flytrap. Thank you for shoes that fit. Thank you for bears. I love bears. I know, I'm weird and odd, but aren't we all? Don't we all have something for which we are thankful every day? And in your prayer life, when you've done all of those things, we have praised God, we have sought forgiveness, we have asked for whatever we have needed, we have prayed for others, we end with thanksgiving to God for all that God has done for us. Prayer is good for you. Do it.